Friends, Elvis has left the building. Oh, wait, wrong place, huh? Remember that? Remember that saying, Elvis has left the building? Uh-huh. Huh? Why'd they say Elvis has left the building? Huh? Game's over? Oh, man, that sounds like a hockey thing to me. You know? Yeah, Mike Lang, you know, Elvis has left the building. Game's over. We're done. They ain't going to catch us now. But why did they say it back in Elvis's time? I can't believe none of you know this. Elvis has left the building. See, when Elvis did a concert, all the people were there. And they all were just kind of all excited and stuff like that. And after he left the stage, sometimes he would come back. And he would play another song or do another song or just, you know, let people cheer and stuff like that. But when the announcer said, Elvis has left the building, hey, it's time for you guys to go. Now, he's no longer here. He's not coming back out. He's not coming around. He's not going to be here. He's left the building. Now, what's that got to do with us? Well, I want to tell you this morning, Jesus has left the building. Hey, I'm getting some puzzled looks there. Jesus has left the building. Right? No? Yes? Huh? Oh, see, you guys aren't paying attention. He has left the building. See, when Jesus was here, where was his ministry? Where did he find Peter? Fishing. Where did he find Paul? Huh? The road to Damascus. Where did he find Thomas? I'm not sure, but I doubt that Thomas was in... Jesus' ministry was not in the temple until the week prior to his death. Did you ever recognize that? Did you ever really look at that? Jesus' ministry was never in the temple until the week prior to his death. When he went to the temple, he cast out the money changers and he taught them right at the temple. But I want you to understand. See here? The church must leave the building. And that's the message this morning. The church must leave the building. Too many times, Christians focus on church as what we're doing right here. We're coming to what? I dare you to go into the scriptures and ever find that the church is brick and mortar or wood, and it isn't there. What is the church? The church, it says, what is the church? The church is the people. The church is the people. And so Jesus recognized as he ministered that, now I'm not saying Jesus didn't go to the temple in that time of 3 years of ministry. I'm sure he did. That was their custom, right? They had times when they went to the temple. But there are things about what we today in society, what is commonly accepted as the church, is the building. Now, I want you to understand, there's two misconceptions out there about the church with non-believers. One is, the church is only for church people. Now, why would they feel like that? Well, we'll talk about that. The church is only for church people. They're the insiders. They're the ones that go to church. And the other thing is, and this is probably the bigger thing, the church is irrelevant to me. And see, I want you to understand is what many people have done is they have made the church this. And that becomes irrelevant to those outside of this. I'm sure you watch some ministries on television. You see some of the churches that people build. You know? And then they say, well, you need to come to church. Well, oh, we have a fantastic worship team. You need to come to church. Why should I come to church? Oh, because it's so beautiful inside. If you walked inside, you would just see this marvelous structure. And people get focused on the church as the building. And Jesus' ministry taught us that we must leave the building. And there is no better time for that than right now. There is no better time in our lives than right now. Because, see, we have this little thing they call the coronavirus, right? What have you seen happen over the last 6-7 months with that virus in the church? Huh? We separated. Let's see. How many of you came here to church in April? How many of you came to church in May? Okay. How many came and worshiped in church in April and May? We were closed in April and May. What did we do? The majority of people didn't get to come. We had a few people that came, and what did they do? They had a service. And how did the rest of us see the service? Huh? On a computer. I don't know if it's part of God's plan. I'm not sure. But do you understand that when this virus hit, the church building no longer was the important thing? What was the important thing? Getting the message out to people, wasn't it? It wasn't about, oh, we're going to have a service full here of our church people. And how many big churches had to do different things? Yeah, I look at Faith Fellowship. One of the things that Faith Fellowship, can I still be seen if I'm wandering around? Okay. I think about Faith Fellowship. I don't care about being seen just as long as they're hearing. But some people might look and say, "What? Where to go?" Faith Fellowship had a lot of outdoor services. Okay? People came and parked in their car, wound down their windows, and the service was outside. They had speakers. They had all this stuff outside. A lot of people... there were some churches started drive-in church. They broadcast like we did, but instead of doing it over the thing, people went to a drive-in and sat in a drive-in and put the little speaker on their car and listened to them as they had church, and they put it up on the screen. It's kind of like a movie. The church building through this virus became irrelevant to the message, didn't it? And see, when I say Jesus has left the building, Jesus does not want church to be all about this building. There's a reason that we come to church, and it's different. It's different than what the world thinks, at least what we should come to church for. Okay? Why do we come to church? To worship. Huh? Encouragement. We want to encourage somebody in the Lord. What do you mean by that, Joanne? Whoops. Good thing that cup was empty. We come to church, and this is why people say it's irrelevant, because they don't understand. The church here is really for us. Okay? Think about it. How many people, just think over the years, how many more people have found God outside the church building than inside the church building? Think about that. You know, when you look back, it started with Jesus, didn't it? Most of his followers came where? From his teaching outside the building. Okay? And then think about the disciples in Acts. What did they do? How many churches were actually built when Paul was alive? Dave's going like that. I don't know if he's saying okay or zero. Zero. They didn't have church. The church building itself didn't start to become in play until 300 or 400 years after they started to build buildings. The church building is for us. For us to come and worship. For us to come and encourage others. For us to come and what? Joanne, if you're going to encourage me, what about you? Are there any times that you're sometimes needing encouraged? We not only encourage others, but we get encouraged. We come to get us strength and wisdom and understanding to do what? Go. Huh? What? That's right. The church is, and the church is about community. And but what I'm saying is, the church has become the focal point of many Christians' lives. And that is not what Jesus is talking. What were Jesus' last words to his disciples? Turn to Matthew 28. I think I'm hearing it. What's it say? The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. 28:16. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Some were doubtful. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and I will be with you to the end of the age." His command was what? Go. Now, what do you see over there? Be light in the darkness. Where's the darkness? Not here, is it? See, that's what I want everybody to get refocused on, is the fact is that And when you think about it, it's all about being light in the darkness. This virus, it makes churches change how they worship. This virus has made churches change what they do. But this virus also is an opening for us. Why, if God is God, why is he allowing 200,000 people to die? You ever hear that question? You know, if God is a loving God, why is he allowing children to suffer? Why does he allow people to not have anything to eat? And see, what you need to understand is, and this is a fact from Lifeway Research. Lifeway Research is out of Tennessee. They said 75%. Now, this is a research that they did, but they said 75% of the people out there are open to a conversation about God. Now, I did a little research and stuff of what they were doing in that. And think about it. In a time like this, are people searching for something? In a time like this, do people have questions? In a time like this, do people have concerns? In a time like this, do people fear? And what God has said is, this is when I give you an opportunity to share. Now, I said about this Lifeway research. I'm going to throw out some things. You can look at lifewayresearch.com if you want to, you know, verify my numbers. But they say that 50% of church-going Christians say they pray daily for someone to tell about Jesus. Okay? 50%. No, got that one wrong. 50% say they pray for someone to tell about Jesus. It's only like 16% that prays daily. They ask them, do you pray once a month for you to get a chance to tell somebody about Jesus? Well, 50% said, yeah. 50% of Christians that are in a church pray for opportunities to talk to somebody about Jesus. They have some amazing research there that as I looked at it and I said, okay, what really is happening here? So, how often do you pray personally for opportunities to tell others about Jesus? Here's the actual numbers. 23% every day. 21% a couple times a week. 12% once a week. 11% a few times a month. 6% once a month. 27% of Christians said they never pray for an opportunity to tell somebody about Christ. Why? Because they don't understand that Jesus said, you must leave the building. What they're focused on their part of what they're getting from God in Christianity. They're not focused on what Jesus said is, therefore go out. Therefore go out to all the world. How many get opportunities to talk to people about God? I forgot to bring my mask in. I was going to bring my mask. And I forgot it's in the truck. But on one side of my mask it says I stand for the flag. On the other side it says I kneel for the cross. Okay? I have worn that mask. I bought it down in Gatlinburg. I bought the mask in Gatlinburg. And I've worn that mask quite a bit. And you would not believe how many times people have commented about that mask. What does that do? That opens an opportunity for you. You know, some people may like the I stand for the flag side. Some people may like the I kneel for the cross side. Some may like both sides. But you know what? It gives you an opportunity to say something. Have you ever worn a t-shirt that said something about Jesus or God? Huh? And somebody comments on it? Somebody says, I like that shirt. Well, why do you like it? We were in Walmart one day this week. And Unlike Dave. See, Dave never gets anything political. I am somewhat different than Dave. Okay, but we were in Walmart this week. And we were talking. Of course, you know, what is the common subject today? Huh? The virus, right? The virus. Well, when we were in, that was the morning that we all got the news that President Trump had got the virus. And we said something to the clerk that was ringing us out. And the conversation came around to President Trump. And she says, well, I hope he's okay. And I said, well, I said, I'm praying for our nation because if we don't get some change, there's going to be problems. And I said, but what was it, Jude? I said something about there's so few of us. I said, the majority of people are full of hate and don't want our nation to go toward God. And the clerk said, well, the Bible says where two or three of us are, we're united, we're one. So she likened herself with my wife and I to become what? United in the faith that we have. In today's world, with everything that's going on, we have more opportunities to share the love of God than ever before in our lifetime. See, take a look at it. 9/11. What happened? The nation pulled together. And even those that really didn't believe in God, they were pulled together with those that believe in God, weren't they? Today, in our nation, there is a great divide between those who believe in God and want God to be in charge of our nation and those who want God out of our nation. They want God out of everything. They want to eliminate him. I can't tell you how many times I have heard people say the Pledge of Allegiance. Political people say the Pledge of Allegiance and leave out under God. They pledge the allegiance, but they say one nation and they skip under God and go on indivisible with liberty and justice for all. There has never been a more prevalent time in the world where they want God out of the United States. And so what, and this is why I said, I'm not saying God allowed the COVID virus to hit for a reason. God always has reasons. But if we're willing, can God use us in this time? When somebody's struggling and say, well, I lost a relative due to this virus. Why? Why does God like? Do we have that answer? How many of you have that answer? How many of you have an answer? I don't know why, but God loves you and wants to do something for you through this, right? It is no secret what God can do. Huh? Satan attacked me a few times with my mother. We put her in a home on March the 2nd because she was getting to the point that she could not take care of herself. And that week, everything got started to be shut down. And I called Mom every day and talked to her, and it was like, I'm not having fun here. They were stuck in their room. They couldn't get out. They couldn't do anything. They didn't even, I know the one time she looked forward to was mealtimes because she got to sit with Judy's mom and they could talk. But that even changed. Because what they did was now they had to put their mealtimes over a length of period where they could separate them and not have tables full. Satan attacked me for that. You know, my mother's last days, I really couldn't be there. But was God there? The last time I got to talk to my mother that she truly was recognizing was Judy and I went into the hospital on the Saturday evening. And my mother had always, she was afraid of death. And I said to her, "Mom, are you ready?" And she said, "I'm ready. I'm ready for God to take me home." Okay? 2 days before that, she didn't know that I was her son. She didn't even know she had any sons. When I called her, she said, "Who is this?" First time I ever had my mom hang up on me. She had no clue. I said, "I'm your son, Denny. Who is this?" Your son. And then I said, "What's your name?" "Hattie." I said, "How many kids you have?" "None." That was 2 days before. But when we went into the hospital, God gave her a moment of clarity. The one I said, "Are you ready?" She said, "Yeah." And it was 4 days later that she passed away. Okay? We had talked on Thursday, 5 days, I guess. We had talked on Thursday with doctors. I made a decision that I said, "She's not getting better. Let's stop aggressive treatment." They were getting ready to move her to hospice. And I went home and I said, "Lord, if you're going to take her before you have to move her again and get her all confused and worked up again." And she died in her sleep that night. But God was there with her. Okay? God was there. Now that was my mother. Okay? But do we have those opportunities to share with other people? Does God give us sometimes these experiences so we can take and have some mercy on other people and compassion with what they're going through? Absolutely. And then God brings us back together because, man, I had a rough week and everybody I talked to was, oh, it was just so awful. And we come back in here and God rejuvenates us. See, the church building is the place where we come to worship, to get rejuvenated, to be in communion. Because, you know, as a community of believers, because God said, don't forsake that part of it. Why? Because you need strength. You need encouragement. You need lifting up. Why? So you can get out of the building. See, if we linger, like Elvis fans, if we linger in this building, what are we doing? And I'm not saying don't stay after church and talk. Don't get me wrong. But if the church building becomes the only thing that we are concerned with about God, we are not doing His will. And go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. And do you notice what He said there? What did He say? What did He say in Matthew 28? I want you to be clear on this because it's really important. Somebody looking? Somebody got it memorized? What'd He say? All right, well, what? Do what? What is that? What is making a disciple? I'll show you. I'll show you what making a disciple is. Huh? I'll show you. Let's see. Who's going to be my disciple? Jane, you want to be my disciple? Jesus loves you. Don't bother me again. Is that what that means? No. That means when Jesus said, get out of the building, there was a reason for it. He said, go out and develop relationships with those outside the building. So that what? You can teach them. You can show them. You can help them. We are commanded to make disciples. Making disciple, and a lot of people think that if I go out and I say, Jesus loves you on the street corner, that's good. I'm doing what Jesus said. No, see, that's not what he said. He said, go ye therefore and make disciples. We need to go out. We need to reach into people's lives. We need to get to know them. We need to get to understand them. We need to share with them the love of God. And see, that's where we missed the boat. Because that takes time. And it can be somebody at work. It can be somebody in your family. It can be somebody that you run into in the grocery store. But your thought process has to be is this a person that God has for me to share the love of God? You know, the one thing that's good about the body of Christ is none of us are the same. Aren't you glad you're not like me? Huh? Aren't you glad you're not like me? John's back there shaking his head, said, yeah, I am. Huh? My wife's shaking her head saying, poor, I pity the fool would be want to be like him. You know, we are all different. We aren't even like-minded. You understand that? We aren't like-minded. Because, see, I want to do things that Gene might not want to do. You know? I want to do things that Joanne might not want to do. And I know I probably want to do things Joel doesn't want to do because Joel doesn't hardly speak up too much. Right? And me, I can't keep my mouth shut. You know? So, I want you to understand, is Jesus said what? He said, we are part of the body of Christ. Isn't that what we become part of the body of Christ? The body of Christ has different parts, different things, different areas, different aspects. And God says, we come together, and it wouldn't matter if we were in this building or out in the pavilion or at my house or wherever we were coming together, that communion, that community aspect, that fellowship one with another is important to us so that we can go out and make disciples. I wish that the Bible said, go therefore out and tell everybody about me. Because that'd be a whole lot easier. That'd be a whole lot easier than making disciples. Because making disciples requires much more time. And see, so Jesus is telling us is the church must leave the building. Okay? The building's important to us. We take care of it. We come and we worship. We get encouraged. We encourage. The church has to leave the building in order to reach people. Because I just said, 75% of unchurched people don't want to be part of the church because it's irrelevant. How do you make it relevant to them? Tell them about Jesus Christ and what he did for them. Share God's love. The biggest thing that has bothered me over the past year is that the Christians in the United States have forgot what it's all about. Do you consider yourself a racist? Most people out there do, because you're sitting in church today. So because you're in church today, you're a racist. Right? Do you consider yourself that you hate all those people that aren't like you? I don't hate the people that aren't like me. Do I hate the sin? God told us to hate the sin, but do we hate the people? No. The only way we can make the building relevant to the world is by telling them about the love of Jesus. And to be honest with you, most of the time that's not going to happen right here. Once in a while, you're going to get an unchurched person walks in the door just of their own thing. Once in a while, you're going to get an unchurched person to come that you invite. But most unchurched people that come to services, you have to develop a relationship. Then they feel comfortable coming, and they normally what? They sit with you, right? Why do they sit with you? Because you've made them feel safe. You've made them feel welcome. You showed them God's love. As a church, we have to remember that God is still at work. It is no secret what God can do for us. And He is still at work today, just like He's been at work every other day. He's at work today. And He wants us to go out. He wants us to tell others when they're suffering, when they're beat down, when Satan is just hammering like crazy. He wants to tell them, hey, I'm here for you and I love you. And the only way He can do that is through us. We have to show them Jesus. I think Pastor Andy said last week, I think it was Pastor Andy said, I could imagine this, about why don't we have Jesus signs in our yard? Why don't we have Jesus signs in our yard? I've seen a few Jesus 2020. Is Jesus the most relevant candidate in 2020? Absolutely, He is. And I've seen a few of them signs, and it's like, wow, where can I get one of those? You know? But we, as the church, which is the body of Christ, need to focus the majority of our time on the lost out there. And we fail to do that. And now a lot of us are getting a little older. And it's a little harder. But does God still give us opportunities once in a while to tell somebody about Jesus? Huh? Does God give us an opportunity on that, Facebook to say something about Jesus and what Jesus has done? Or just to agree when somebody posts something about Jesus and say, amen? What's that doing? That's letting people that see that know that you have faith. And if you have faith and they need somebody, remember what I said, 75% of the unchurched people are willing to talk to someone about faith. Okay? And if they know you have faith, what do? You know, when you stop in a restaurant and you pray before you eat, do people see that? What are you showing them? Oh, well, I just do this little thing here. You're showing them faith, aren't you? You believe in something. You believe in God. You know? You wear that t-shirt. You're showing them faith. And that can open up doors. That can open up doors. We need to be willing to show people God. Yeah? I almost bought another shirt because I found one down there. They didn't have my size, but I almost bought a... I used to have a shirt and I wore it out. It says, all I need is a little coffee in the morning and a whole lot of Jesus. Every morning when we get up, we should be looking to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I praise your name today. You're holy. You're wonderful. And I'm trusting you to do something for me today as I love others, that I can reach out, that I can share, that I can help. The scripture says, when they're hungry, feed them. When they're thirsty, give them something to drink. There's a world out there that's hungering and thirsting after something more than they have. And we, the church, must leave the building and share Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, you have given us a command to go out and make disciples, to be that light in a world of darkness. And Lord, we see darkness more today than we have seen it in our lifetime. We see people that have a mindset to destroy the body of Christ here in our country. We see a people who that is their sole purpose, is to destroy the body of Christ. And Lord, sometimes it's a little difficult for us to really love people that want to destroy us. But you said when we share the love of Christ, we reach. When we pray for those that are against us, when we ask you to be part of their life, trusting that you are a God that still can do it all. We ask today that help us to be the church that you have desired us to be. And that as we leave the building of the church, knowing that we're going to come back to get revitalized, to get rejuvenated, to get encouraged, to encourage others, to worship you, to have fellowship. Let us focus on the fact that when we leave the building, it's over here, and our ministry is now gone with us out there. Be with each one that's not here this morning. Touch them. We know, Lord, that it's been a struggle for some with the virus and with the things. We know that we've lost members this year that have gone home to be with you. But Lord, I ask this morning that each one of us here trust that you can do what you say you can do. And as we walk out, we become the church to the lost world. That we become that light in darkness, and that we shine brightly. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen.